There was a verse and an image someone shared that stuck with me this week. And I want to share with you, along with an encouragement. The verse is from that first reading that we hear on Ash Wednesday from the prophet Joel. The reading which begins, "Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart." And the verse is within that reading where the Lord says to rend your hearts, not your garments. To rend your hearts, not your garments. Which on one level is speaking of Lent as primarily being about the change within the heart, not the external things, that they're all meant to lead to this change internally. But on a deeper level than that, the Lord is speaking of the rending of the heart, which to rend is to tear something open. To rend something is to tear it open. In fact, it's to tear it apart. So when you hear in the Old Testament of someone rending their garments, they take their garments and they tear them open, they tear them apart because of great sorrow. To show people that they are in the midst of sorrow, to show great repentance, you rend your garments, you tear them open. And so Jesus is telling us to rend our hearts. In the gospel, having received the Holy Spirit coming down upon him at the baptism, and the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Right after that, what we hear is Jesus is driven out into the desert by the Spirit. Why does Jesus now go into the desert for 40 days before he begins his ministry? He enters into this place of 40 days of fasting, of prayer, and this complete giving of himself to render his heart, that Jesus' heart might be torn open, and that his heart, now rendered, might be in closer union with the heart of his Father and with the heart of humanity, which is suffering. And to rend his heart in sorrow, not for his own sins, but for the sins of humanity and for their hearts which are bleeding out. So it's to unite himself more closely with the Father and with humanity. But he doesn't go into the desert alone, does he? The Spirit drives him out and the angels minister to him there. But who also follows him into the desert? Satan does, along with the wild beasts. What do wild beasts do? They tear you apart. Because this is the desire of Satan, is to tear Jesus apart from his Father and from humanity. This is the temptation that he faces and he conquers in the desert. And so in Lent, we're invited to enter into the desert with Jesus. Why? Why do we take on all these penances that we do in Lent? Just for the sake of the suffering of them? No, we're not masochists. We enter into Lent to have our hearts rendered, to have your heart torn open, to have it torn apart, so that your heart, now rendered, now torn open, might become more closely united to Jesus' own rendered heart, and the hearts in solidarity with those in humanity who suffer, with our brothers and sisters who are bleeding out in suffering. But here's the thing. It's not as if it's this option of, well, here's this invitation from the Lord to follow him into these 40 days of Lent. Or, you know what, not so much this year. I'll render my heart or I won't. Here's the thing. Our hearts will be rendered whether we want them to or not. Your heart's going to be torn open. It's going to be teared apart whether you want it to or not. The difference is if we willingly follow Jesus into the desert in rending our hearts, or if it's unwillingly done. Because what Jesus' desire for us in Lent is this greater union with himself and through him to the Father and with one another. But what Satan and the wild beasts desire to do is to tear you apart as well. To tear your heart apart in your whole life. To leave you divided. To tear you apart from God, to tear your marriages apart. Why? Because of the midst of suffering. To tear you apart from one another, to tear the church apart in division. To tear the nation, to tear a world apart. This is what Satan and the wild beasts do. But Jesus invites us to willingly come with him to tear our hearts apart so that they can be united in being torn open with his own heart, so that it might lead not to division, but rather communion with him, communion with one another, this greater unity. That our hearts will be rendered one way or the other. And at the end of our life, we'll have to rend an account of our life as well before the Lord. But he invites us onto this. Just as God, through Noah, invited all of humanity onto the ark, and in his great patience of 120 years, through Noah, inviting those to come onto the ark, one family was saved. The floodwaters for Noah's family were salvific. But those same exact waters for the rest of humanity was their destruction. The rending of our hearts in Lent can be salvific, or it can be the rending of our hearts in our life can be our destruction. If we rend them with Jesus, entering into this prayer, this fasting, and this giving. The image. You can close your eyes even if you want, but imagine that you're in a room and you're just sitting there and you're waiting. You're waiting in this room and you're nervous but also hopeful. You have for a long time now been suffering from all sorts of unexplained symptoms. You've been ill for a long time now, with no answer to anything of these symptoms that you've been able to get to. And so you've come now to the doctor, willingly in one sense, but begrudgingly. But you don't care anymore, because now you want to come and you just want to know what is going on, what is wrong with you. And you want to be healed. And so you're waiting now in this consultation room. You've already gone through all the tests, all the examinations, and so you're sitting there feeling a bit vulnerable. Because you know, usually when you go to the doctor, you tell them like 80% of what's going on. But they don't need to know everything. But no, you've come and you're desire to be healed, and you've laid the whole thing out. You've rendered your life before the doctor. And so you wait now. You wait with this hope. And you have this hope because Jesus is the divine physician. And as the divine physician, he is the one who reveals to you your life. That in our life, we have all these different symptoms which we can put our finger on, but we can never get to the heart of it. That our lives unto ourselves is even a mystery, but it's only Jesus who reveals our life to us, and he reveals it to us in order to heal us. He is the one who reveals, and he is the one who does so for the sake of healing us. And now finally, my encouragement for us. If at all humanly possible, at different times throughout these days of Lent, come here into the church and just sit with Jesus. Just sit with him and let him do the work. Let him work on you. Come, render your hearts, let him reveal and heal. The question comes to some minds, well, but God is everywhere. It's true, God is everywhere. And no more so than here. In the church, in the new ark. And that he, in his presence here, in his Eucharistic presence, there's something different, and there's something even more real about his presence here. And to come and don't do anything. Come into the church, the doors unlock at 6 a.m. and they lock automatically again at 8 a.m. There's adoration 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays, and now up to 4 hours on Friday during Lent from 3 to 7. If you come already, take those prayer books, at least for the majority of your time, and the rosary, and put it to the side and just sit there with him. It's in that, if you sit there in the silence and you just wait for him and let him work on you, he will break you. He will break you, but you have to give him that space and that time of just sitting there with him. But he breaks you in this way in which your heart becomes rendered, it becomes broken open. And he breaks you in that silence where your mind can only be distracted, I promise, for so long before if you sit faithfully with him. He breaks you in a way that he reveals you slowly to yourself as only Jesus Christ can. And as he reveals you to yourself, it's simply sitting in his presence with you holding your rendered heart to him, that as he reveals, he also heals. Allow him to do that. I want to close with a prayer. At the entrances of the church, there's a bunch of prayer cards. Grab some on your way out. It's a prayer of the Eucharistic prayer for the family. And I want to pray just part of it with you now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As we enter into this prayer, to hold your heart out to Jesus, O Jesus, King of the world, you enter our lives hidden and humble in a Bethlehem cave. Now, hidden in the host, you come. O Jesus, in the Eucharist, let the rays of your love and mercy radiate out and flood my soul and the soul of every person in my family. With your saving power, Jesus, cast out all anxiety, unforgiveness, addiction, pride, impurity, confusion, hatred, resentment, fear, and despair. Pierce the darkness with your light and fill us with your presence. A short litany follows, and then a prayer on the back from St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Do you realize that Jesus is there in the tabernacle expressly for you alone? He burns with the desire to come into your heart. Go without fear to receive the Jesus of peace and love. Amen.